But this morning is a fun morning. We get the opportunity this morning to participate in both of the ordinances that Jesus gave his church, the body of Christ, to celebrite together, to have as a rite of faith among his followers. You know, you think about it is of all of the things that Jesus could have told the church to do, you know, I mean, obviously it's good to gather together and worship, and we do these two things oftentimes in the context of our worship services. But he could have told us a lot of things to do, but he said is, hey, these are the things that you really should focus on. These are the things that should be close to the heart of the church and that should be a part of the mission of the church and every believer in the church. And one of them is baptism, and the other one's communion. And so baptism is one of these two ordinances that Jesus asked his disciples to continue as a rite of faith among his followers. In Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, it says that then Jesus came and he said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' instructions were very simple. He said, you have my authority to make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them here, there, and everywhere. And so baptism was practiced from the very beginning of the church. Now, it was actually practiced before the beginning of the church by individuals like John the Baptist, but he used baptism as a way of preparing people for the way of the Lord. And so he invited people to come and to have their sins washed away and a picture of their hearts changed through the rite of baptism. But baptism for the Christian means more than just the cleansing of sin. Christian baptism signifies so much more. When a person puts their faith in Christ, they are saved from the power of sin. They are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And so that's something that the Holy Spirit does. And so when a person says, hey, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, I'm trusting him to forgive my sins, there is a spiritual baptism that happens. The Holy Spirit comes into their life, and they are ushered into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the church. It's a picture of God's work in the entire world through his faithful people. Water baptism, we call it believer's baptism, is a reenactment of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So Christian baptism is how a person says, I've committed my life to Christ. I've committed my life to Christ. I've committed to being his disciple. And in baptism, when a person says, I confess faith in Christ, Jesus has cleansed my soul, and I now have a new life. The water baptism is the physical picture of what has happened internally. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And so Christian baptism, in dramatic style, is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And at the same time, it also illustrates our death to sin and new life in Christ. So when we do this baptism here in a few minutes, this is an unbelievable picture of what Jesus did for us. But it's also a picture that because of him, we're a new creation. It's as though we have died, that we've been buried, and that we have been resurrected to new life. As a sinner confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, he or she dies to sin. In Romans 6:4, it says that we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And then it goes on to say, for if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self, our old nature, our old person was crucified with him so that the body that's ruled by sin might be done away with and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. But we're not just dead to sin. We're raised to new life. And so a person coming up out of the water is a picture of resurrection. Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the work of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. And so being submerged in the water represents death to sin, and emerging from the water represents new life. In baptism, there's a new identity. And it's not with our old selves or our old nature. In baptism, a person is saying, I want to be like Jesus. I want to live the way that he lived. I want to love the way that he loved. I want to care the way that he cared. I want to be righteous in the way that he was righteous. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we'll never make mistakes or that we'll never sin. It doesn't mean that the old nature that used to control our life won't pop up from time to time. But it does mean that that old nature is dead by faith in Christ. And so, every time we kind of feel that old nature coming up, when you feel that sin present, you could say, hey, go back where you belong. Go back to the grave. You're dead. You're supposed to be dead. There's no dead men rising around here. And you can push that away because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is calling us to new life. So, very simply, baptism is an outward testimony of an inward change. Christian baptism is an act of obedience to the Lord after salvation. Although baptism is closely associated with salvation, it is not an act that saves us. The Bible shows us an order. A person believes in Jesus. He or she is baptized. This is seen over and over and again in the book of Acts, but in Acts 2:41 it says, those that accepted the message were baptized. Those that accepted the message were baptized. So, we get the opportunity to celebrate a baptism this morning. I want to invite Kehlani and Kyle to come up. We actually had three baptisms 2 weeks ago. And a lot of this is coming out of, not all of it, but a lot of this is coming out of just an incredible summer, some really neat things that happened this summer. And so come on up, Kehlani. I'm going to let Kyle kind of just talk for a moment about what happened this summer.
Cool. And actually, I think about half the sanctuary is going to come up, if I'm right. So who all wanted to stand with Kehlani? Come on down. Cool.
You can all gather around behind.
Yeah, a lot of support. Brian wanted me to just share real quick what happened. So, Kehlani, correct me if I'm wrong. I have the mic, though, so that'd be hard for you to do. So we're up at camp, and it's the last night of camp. If we could have family, like, right over hither, this is the splash zone. So hey, watch out for that. But it was the last night of camp, and I had some conversations with some of the boys in my cabin, and then we're getting ready to head down to this kind of party night. They were going to have all kinds of fun stuff going on. And here comes Kehlani, and she's like, hey, can we talk? I was like, sure. You know, and so we talked, and she just kind of opened up about all this stuff in her life and all this, and through tears and all this, and she's talking and talking, and then she's like, yeah, and then I gave my heart to Jesus, and then keeps talking. I was like, stop, Birch, back up. What did you say? And she's like, yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus tonight. I was like, are you kidding me? That's awesome. And so we took a minute to talk about how in that moment she became a child of God. Amen. And we're no longer slaves to our old self, but we're children of God. And she was like, yes. And she had this sudden peace. Like, I mean, I've talked to her about it a few times. Like, there's in the midst of the storm, God gives us this peace that doesn't make sense. And so we talked, and it was great, and we celebrated, and she ran and told Sam and told Aaron and whoever else. And it was just this really awesome deal where God totally transformed her heart. And so then, ever since then, she's like, can I get baptized? I was like, yes. She's like, when? Let me figure it out. And then can I get baptized? Oh, yeah, let me get. And then we had it, and she couldn't make it. And so we're like, we need to do this. So tonight, or this morning, we're going to baptize Kehlani. Does that sound good? All right, so cool. And if you want to hop in, you can step in, and I'll ask you a few questions. And then Sam is going to pray over you, and then we're gonna baptize. So, Kehlani, let me just ask you this question. Kehlani, have you put your faith in Jesus for your salvation and for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes.
Yes. You could, that's okay. That was a good yes. Okay, good. And Kehlani, just one quick question. Why then do you want to be baptized this morning? You do you not want to talk into the mic? You don't have to. Okay, why do you want to be baptized this morning? Awesome. She said to show the world that she's a child of God, and she's proud of that. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Sam? Pray over Kehlani.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good. Okay. Jesus, thank you so much for Kehlani, and God, we just thank you for just your pursuit of her heart over the course of her life, Jesus. We just thank you for revealing yourself to her, God, and just for opening her eyes just to see your goodness, God, and to see your love. And Jesus, we pray a blessing over the rest of her life from this day forward, that she would passionately pursue who you are, passionately pursue you, and you would reveal yourself to her in in freedom and in the love that is found in you. Jesus, we pray a blessing over her life, and just thank you for pursuing her in this decision and the boldness to come up here and do this. Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you've done in Kehlani's life this morning and what you're going to continue to do. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
All right, Kehlani, grab your belt. Kehlani, because of the proclamation of your faith this morning in front of these people and in front of God,
all right. Congratulations. Hey, would everyone else stand? Hey, the reason I asked you to stand is because you have a responsibility as a church, as the body of Christ. And your responsibility is to pray for all of the young people that are growing up in our congregation, but also for those that are making these huge steps of faith, because after salvation, this is a big, big deal. And so you standing today is an acknowledgement is that we do have this responsibility. And it's not just the family that's standing, not just the biological family that's standing, it's also the family of God that's standing and saying, hey, we're standing with you, we're praying for you, and so let's just thank God for this opportunity. Father and Lord God, we thank you that we as a church, as the body of Christ, can stand with each other and support each other and encourage each other. And so, Lord, thanks for Kehlani. Lord, thanks for just her vulnerability and coming up here alone today and saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. And so, Lord, bless and keep, and we thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Feel free to be seated. So, at the beginning of the service, I said is that there are two things that Jesus gave us that we are to do over and over again as a church. And one of them is his baptism, is that we're called that once we put our faith in Jesus, that we are to be baptized. And then there's a second command. And so we're going to take communion in just a minute, but we're going to show a video because some of you missed the baptism. Is we have just a short little video clip of the baptisms that happened at the river. And so we're going to show that, and then we're going to come back and we're going to take communion together.
You are my life, you are my love, you are my reason. You are my hope, you are my joy, you are my passion, my all in all. Jesus, my all in all, my all in all, Jesus, my all in all.
Isn't that fun? I almost forgot the video. You know, this year has just been such a fun year because we have had a lot of people put their faith in Christ this year, but we've had a lot of people who have, in obedience to Christ, have said, hey, I want to get baptized. Now, we as a church family, we get to take communion together. Jesus gave us communion. It's also called the Lord's Supper. in order to remember what he's done for us. Before Jesus told his disciples to adopt baptism as a Christian practice, he gave them another practice. Jesus knew that the cross was coming. He knew that his adversaries were going to plot to kill him. In Matthew 20:28, it says that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, he also came to give his life as a ransom for many. And so when Jesus was with his disciples for the last time, having a meal together, he took bread and he took wine, and he told them that the bread and the wine would become symbols of his sacrifice. In Luke 22:19, we're told that he took bread, that he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after eating the bread, we're told that Jesus, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is what the Apostle Paul later said about communion, about the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, the Apostle Paul said, "For what I received from the Lord is what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You know, sometimes people use big words to describe communion. For those of us that grew up in those liturgical churches, we heard the word Eucharist a lot. There's other big words that are sometimes used in order to describe communion. But there's two words that are really important for us to understand. You can study the theology behind communion. You can kind of get into the details of it. But today I want to focus in on the simplicity of it. There are two words that are absolutely vital for us to catch as we prepare for communion this morning. And they're two words that are directly out of Scripture. The two words that are most important for us this morning are the two words, "for you." For you. Even though we weren't in the room when Jesus had his last suppers for the disciples, we can know that these words are for us. Communion is for every one of us. When we put our faith in Christ, we're a part of a body called the body of Christ. And we're called to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. This is for you. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're tall or whether you're short, whether you have hair or whether you don't. Thankfully, most of you do. Some of you would look funny without it. It's for you. Whether you feel worthy or whether you feel unworthy, this is for you. It's for you. If you're wealthy, it's for you. If you're poor, it's for you. If you're a man, it's for you. If you're a woman, it's for you. If you're a child, it's for you. It's for you. It's for every tribe. It's for every nation. It's for every language. It's for every ability. It's for you. This is for you. And this is the most important truth that we can recognize, is that communion is given to us for us because we need a reminder. We need a reminder that there is a Savior and that he loves us and that he cares about us, and that even though we do things that sometimes we're ashamed of, we have things that are a part of our life, and we feel like, is God, how can you be working in my life when there's these things? This is why we need communion. This is why we need the Lord's Supper. This is the reason why we need to remember that it's for us and that he did everything for us that we so desperately need. God wants us to know. Jesus died on the cross for you, for us, for our sins. And he wants us to come and to find forgiveness. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are saying that we have come to you. We remember what you have done. We remember your once and for all act of love on the cross at Calvary. And so here's what's important for us to think about as we take communion. The purpose of communion is to move our hearts towards remembrance. It's to remember that Jesus is for us. And that he came and that he lived a perfect life for us. And that he cared for us. And that even though he is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, that he is still for us and he sends his Holy Spirit to be with us. And so we remember what he's done. We remember that he left heaven in order for us to get a better picture of heaven and then for us to be invited into heaven. That he left his wealth behind and he embraced poverty so that we would one day be wealthy. So we remember what he did for us. We remember that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. The bread and the wine, which we're going to pass out. The bread and wine are physical, tangible reminders that the sacrifice of Christ and therefore our ransom came at a great cost. His body and his blood. They also remind us that we must take in these things. In the same way that our bodies need food and water, followers of Jesus need Jesus. We need his life. We need his love. We must take in his presence and be sustained and nourished by him. Third, it's Jesus that we are remembering. It's not about us. It is about Jesus. And so this, what we're going to do together, it's an act of worship. It's a way of saying, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, I remember. I remember and I will not forget. And so I remember. Now, in remembering, there's also confession. This is a beautiful opportunity to come before the Lord and to recognize our need. Our need for forgiveness, our need for Jesus. It's our way of saying, Christ gave his body and his blood for me. He died for me. 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 28 says that whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And so everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. Unworthy manner. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you have to have had a great week where you mostly did everything okay. If you feel like that, then that's actually a call to come to the Lord's table. That's a call to take the bread and the juice. It's not about perfection, but it also means that we cannot be flippant and we cannot be callous when we take communion. And so we come with an attitude of repentance and an attitude of worship. And then we remember that in our remembering, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And yet this is not, remember, this is not just something that looks into the past, it also looks into the future. And so we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. It looks backwards to what Jesus has done for us, and it looks forward to the day when he will come again to gather together all of those who by faith have come to him. So, communion is a sacred time for you as a follower of Jesus. Before we participate together in this memorable occasion, it's good for us to spend some time being reflective. And so, so there's a prayer that I want to read. But then I'm going to give you, as the worship team comes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to read it, and then I'll invite the ushers forward, and we're going to pass out both the bread and the juice, and everyone can hold on to both the bread and the juice, and we'll take them together once everyone has received both. But as we prepare for that, I want to invite you to listen to this prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to take a moment of prayer yourself, and you can just have an opportunity to bring yourself before the Lord as you prepare to remember him. And so this is a prayer. It's written by Rebecca Barlow Jordan, who's an author, a speaker, and most importantly, a follower of Jesus. So hear this prayer. Lord Jesus, I bow before you in humility and ask you to examine my heart today. Show me anything that is not pleasing to you. Reveal any secret pride, any unconfessed sin, any rebellion or unforgiveness that may be hindering my relationship with you. I know that I am your beloved child. Having received you into my heart and life and having accepted your death as a penalty for my sinfulness, the price you paid covered me for all of time, and my desire is to live for you. As I take the bread representing your life that was broken for me, I remember and celebrate your faithfulness to me and all who will receive you. I can't begin to fathom the agonizing suffering of your crucifixion. Yet you took the pain for me. You died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your extravagant love and your unmerited favor. Thank you for your death, which gave me life, abundant life, and eternal life. As you instructed your disciples, I too receive this bread in remembrance of you. And in the same way, as I take this cup representing your blood poured out from a splintered cross, I realize that you were the supreme sacrifice for all of my sin, past, present, and future. Because of your blood shed for me and your body broken for me, I can be free from the power and the penalty of sin. Thank you for your victory over death. You took the death that I deserved. You took my punishment. Your pain was indeed my gain. And today I remember and I celebrate the precious gift of life you gave to me through the blood that was spilled. And while my relationship is secure in you, I know that sin can break that fellowship at times. I'm still human, and I often forget who I am and whose I am. And so you bring conviction and you bring correction, but not to shame me, because I know that you love me like a perfect parent. You'll never disown me or leave me. Your love to me is solid, but my sin hurts both my heart and yours. So before I take communion today, I'm asking you to search my heart and reveal hidden things for which I need to ask for forgiveness. Each time I take communion, Lord, I want to recommit my life, my heart, my thoughts, my everything to you. Fill me today with your powerful spirit. And Lord, later as I leave this place, help me to hold this fresh remembrance and the story that never grows old close to my heart. Help me to share its message faithfully as you give me opportunity. You know, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, there are two destinations and both are eternal. You'll either find yourself living in eternity in heaven or living apart from God for all of eternity. And the Bible calls that hell. Where will you be? Eternity in heaven. This destination is reserved for those who receive the free gift of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Contrary to popular belief, heaven is not for people who go to church, although people who go to church will be there if they put their faith in Christ. It's not for devout or good people, because none of us are good enough on our own works. The only way that we can enter into heaven is if Christ has prepared the way for us through faith. The only way that we can go to heaven is if we know the one that holds heaven open for us, and that's Jesus. Hell is for those who have rejected Jesus and his gospel. The Bible sums it up like this: Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And hell is described as just a place of utter loss and distance from God. It's where God is not. And so if you haven't become a Christian, here's what it looks like. It's just realize that everyone has sinned We're all equal in this. None of us is good enough. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then understand that the penalty of sin is death. It's the reason why death came into our world. It's the reason why Jesus needed to come and conquer death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so realize that everyone has sinned. Understand the penalty for sin is death. And accept God's free gift of life. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. God hates hell. He doesn't want people to go there. And so Romans 5:8 says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place so that we could be spared from hell. It says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so we don't have to subscribe to a religious formula or do more good things than bad things. God gives us his gift freely, not because we can earn it. In Romans 10:13, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And so, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, then accept God's gift. The Bible says you can be 100% sure of your eternal destination. 1 John 5 says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." I want to invite you to bow your heads. As we take communion this morning, you can just pray to the Lord. You can just pray to him. You can thank him. You can ask for forgiveness. And you can take the bread and the juice and say, "Thank you, Jesus. I remember. I remember what you did for me." If you've never put your faith in Christ, then I want to invite you to do that before we take communion. It's just as simple as saying, as "Jesus, I need a Savior. I'm tired of the sin that I see in the world. But I don't like the sin that I see in my own life. And I want forgiveness and I want a Savior. And I know that you're the only Savior that there is." And so if you haven't put your faith in Christ, then I just want to invite you to do that. If you haven't put your faith in Christ and you want to do that this morning, just raise your hand so that I can see and I can pray. And if you have put your faith in Christ and you're just in that place of just wanting to come before the Lord, then communion's the opportunity. You can use this time to pray. As we worship, you can join in or you can just be quiet. Father and Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to remember. And we bring ourselves before you, our hearts before you. And we worship you. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Ushers, if you would come.
My heart to fear. how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rained, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
I'm going to invite you, after we take the bread and the juice, to actually say out loud together as a congregation, I remember. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is for you." I remember. We can say it together. I remember. Let's take the bread together. After the meal was over, He took the cup and He said, "This cup is a new covenant. It's new and it's for you. Drink it in remembrance of me. I remember." Let's stand together and we're going to close in worship.
All right, why don't we just end with this one song, Victory in Jesus. Let's celebrate, let's remember together. Let's sing this here.
Well, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. that he's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Then some sweet day we'll sing up there the song of victory.
Sing it out.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Can you say amen to that? Amen. It has been great for us to be together this morning. I want to invite you to join us next door because we really do have a lot of pastries. And it's a great way to finish worship is by fellowshipping together. So I want to invite you to join us. Thanks for being here this morning. May God bless you and keep you as you go out into the community this week. Be the light of Christ. Amen.